Usually when we talk about mathematical prediction, there's this underlying expectation of just absolute precision. Like, you know, you look at classical mechanics where you launch a satellite
Right.
and the equations sketch out this perfect elliptical orbit. A physicist can just point at the sky and say, hey, it will be exactly there at 12.04 p.m.
Yeah, it's the comfort of deterministic systems. I mean, we're naturally drawn to things that are predictable.
Exactly.
Phenomena that follow a visible, unbreakable rule. You put the input in and you get the exact same output every single time.
But the moment you step into the world of advanced probability and random environments, that telescope just shatters. We start looking at a predictive landscape that is incredibly murky.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like trying to predict the exact jagged fractal path of a single lightning bolt during a severe storm. I mean, you know it's going to hit the ground.
Yeah, eventually.
Right. But mapping every single millimeter of its chaotic descent before it happens, that seems impossible.
It is the absolute definition of mathematical muddy waters. You know, you are dealing with systems where the environment itself is constantly shifting, throwing random obstacles and random rewards at whatever is trying to move through it.
Well, today, that is exactly the storm we are walking into. Welcome to this deep dive. If you're listening, you likely know your way around standard probability models.
For sure.
But today, we are generating an accessible audio overview of a massive, highly complex 60-page paper from March 2026.
And it is dense.
Very dense. It basically tries to mathematically map that exact type of lightning storm we were talking about. Researchers Chen, Uyang, Tyndall, and Xia have essentially written the rule book for navigating pure mathematical chaos.
Yeah, the paper is called A Class of D-Dimensional Directed Polymers in a Gaussian Environment.
Right. And to give some context on the sheer weight of this paper, it relies heavily on stochastic calculus and Malleavian calculus.
Which is some heavy machinery.
So let's ground those terms quickly before we get too deep. When most of us learn calculus, the Newtonian kind, we are learning the math of smooth, continuous curves, like the graceful arc of a thrown baseball.
Right.
But stochastic calculus is the mathematical language of jagged lines. It's the calculus of noise. Systems that jitter unpredictably over time, like, you know, stock market graphs or lightning.
And Malleavian calculus takes that a step further. It is essentially the calculus of variations applied to stochastic processes.
Okay, so what does that actually let you do?
Well, it allows mathematicians to take derivatives of random variables. So if you have a path that is entirely determined by randomness, Malleavian calculus gives you a way to measure how sensitive that path is to tiny shifts in the underlying noise.
Wow.
Yeah, it is incredibly complex mathematical machinery.
So our mission today is to extract the fascinating, you know, aha moments and the elegant concepts hidden behind all those Greek letters so you can grasp the cutting edge of probability theory without needing a chalkboard. At its core, this paper is really a story about a fundamental mathematical tug of war.
The ultimate showdown between entropy and energy.
Right. Entropy being the inherent desire of a system to wander completely randomly to maximize its disorder.
And energy being the pull of a messy, unpredictable environment.
So when people hear the word polymer, they usually picture plastics or maybe, I don't know, a biological macromolecule like a DNA strand.
Yeah, yeah.
But in statistical physics, a directed polymer isn't a physical object you can just hold in your hand.
No, not at all.
Oh.
It is a mathematical model for navigating a disordered system. The best way to visualize it is as a trajectory.
Okay.
Like a continuous path that is trying to find its way through a space filled with random obstacles or rewards.
And the shape of this trajectory is determined by what the paper calls exponentially tilting a reference path.
Right.
So let's unpack that. Imagine you are hiking through a dense, muddy forest. You have a strong desire to wander completely aimlessly. You just want to take steps in any random direction.
That is your entropy.
Right. But you also strongly prefer walking on dry, packed dirt rather than sinking up to your knees in thick mud.
And the mud and the dry dirt, they represent the random potential of the environment, the energy.
So you have to balance the two. You want to wander freely, but if a particular route happens to go through a stretch of dry dirt, the mathematical model exponentially favors that route.
Exactly. The probability of you taking that easy path spikes. Well, the probability of you slugging through the mud just plummets.
Historically, most of this math was done in a discrete setting.
Right. Yeah. They would build models where the forest was essentially a giant chessboard. The polymer could only move up, down, left, or right, jumping from one distinct square to another.
Which kind of makes sense.
It does, and that constraint makes the math relatively manageable. I mean, if you want to calculate the probability of a path, you can literally count the squares and sum up the values of the mud and the dirt on that specific grid.
Which brings us to the massive leap this 2026 paper makes. Chen and his team strip away the safety net of the discrete grid entirely.
They do. They move the math into continuous time and continuous flat space of any dimension, what they denote as R to the D.
R to the D. So the polymer is now fluid. It can move in infinitesimal increments in any direction.
And the environment it is moving through is driven by Gaussian noise. Specifically, a noise that is white in time, but spatially correlated.
Okay, white in time meaning it has zero memory.
Right.
What the environment is doing right this exact millisecond has absolutely no bearing on what it will do the next millisecond. It is completely independent and constantly flickering.
Yeah, but spatially correlated means the mud and the dry dirt, they bleed into each other smoothly across space.
Oh, I get it. So if you are standing in mud, the space 1 millimeter to your left is probably also mud.
Precisely. But moving from a chessboard to this flickering, continuous fluid environment completely breaks the old mathematical tools.
Because you can no longer just count grid steps to sum up the environment's resistance.
Exactly. The researchers had to borrow a famous equation from a completely different branch of physics just to define where the path could go. They used the stochastic heat equation.
Okay, wait, let me push back on this because it feels like a total non sequitur.
It does, yeah.
If we're talking about physical paths, you know, trajectories, polymers, finding their way through a muddy forest, why does the paper spend pages solving an equation about heat?
It's a fair question.
Like, how does heat spreading across a surface relate to a path finding its way?
It is deeply counterintuitive until you look at the microscopic mechanics of heat. The connection relies on a profound mathematical link called the Feynman-Kac representation.
Named after Richard Feynman and Mark Kac.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the Feynman-Kac formula proves that the macroscopic diffusion of heat and the microscopic probability distribution of a random path are two sides of the exact same mathematical coin.
Okay, hold on. Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, think about what heat actually is. When you touch a hot pan, the heat spreads through the metal because trillions of invisible particles are vibrating and taking microscopic random walks, bumping into each other.
Oh, wow.
So the macroscopic spread of that heat is really just the collective probability distribution of all those tiny random paths.
That makes so much sense. So if you want to know the probability of a single continuous polymer taking a specific random trajectory through our muddy forest,
you can literally set up the equation for how heat spreads in that exact same muddy environment. The math is identical. The stochastic heat equation acts as the engine that generates the probabilities for where our continuous polymer is allowed to go.
That is wild. And in this paper, they start the heat equation using a wedge initial condition, right?
Yeah, you can visualize this as a Dirac delta function.
Like an infinitely sharp, infinitely dense single point. Imagine touching a microscopic, infinitely hot needle to a single point on our spatial plane.
The moment that needle touches, the heat begins to spread outward through the flickering Gaussian noise environment.
Right.
And by tracking how that heat diffuses over time, the researchers generate the exact transition densities. So the strict probabilities of where our polymer path might wander, starting from that initial needle prick.
But here's where the math threatens to just rip itself apart. Because the environment isn't a smooth metal pan, it's rough.
Very rough.
And because it is white in time, that roughness is chaotic.
Exactly. If the noise is too wild, the heat equation yields infinities.
Right.
When you try to calculate the distance or the accumulated energy of a path across a landscape that is infinitely jagged, the formula tries to sum up an infinite number of microscopic peaks and valleys, and the math simply blows up. It fractures.
So to fix this, the text mentions that the researchers define the polymer measure through Itô-type renormalization.
Yes.
I'm going to need you to translate that into plain English. What is renormalization actually doing to save the math here?
So renormalization is essentially a mathematical filtering system. Because the raw, unedited noise of the environment forces the calculations to spiral into infinity, we need a rigorous way to subtract that infinity while leaving the physical phenomenon intact.
Okay, so it's like trying to weigh a feather on a scale that constantly adds 1 million pounds of random pressure to the reading?
That is the perfect way to look at it.
You have to mathematically filter out the 1 million pounds just to find the feather.
Exactly. Itô-type renormalization systematically subtracts the specific infinite mathematical divergences caused by the Gaussian noise. It cancels out the mathematical explosions, leaving behind a finite, measurable probability distribution for the path.
But even with renormalization, there is a physical limit to how chaotic the environment can be before the math just completely stops working. The paper constantly references something called DeLange's condition.
Right. DeLange's condition is the absolute threshold of roughness. It is the mathematical boundary that dictates the allowable spatial correlation of the noise.
Meaning it defines exactly how fast the mud can change into dry dirt across space.
Correct. If the landscape changes too violently from point A to point B, not even renormalization can save the equations. The variance just becomes too massive.
So DeLange's condition is the safety net.
Exactly. It guarantees that the peaks and valleys of the noise, while jagged, have a strict upper limit of sharpness. As long as the Gaussian noise obeys DeLange's condition, the researchers can rigorously calculate a valid, continuous polymer path without the universe breaking.
Okay, so we now have the mathematical engine. We are using the stochastic heat equation to map the probabilities, renormalization to filter out the infinities, and DeLange's condition to ensure the landscape isn't too fractured,
right,
which allows us to define the path. But what does this path actually look like when we put it under a microscope?
Well, when you zoom in on the trajectory over a very short finite time interval, your intuition might tell you that the path would look completely warped. I mean, it is being yanked around by this chaotic, muddy environment.
Right. You'd think it would look crazy. But the researchers prove something completely counterintuitive. Locally, under that microscope, the Palmer's path acts incredibly similar to standard Brownian motion.
Just a perfectly standard, unbiased, random walk.
The classic path a speck of dust takes when it is suspended in a sunbeam, getting randomly bombarded by air molecules.
Yeah, the paper explicitly proves that the continuous Palmer path has the exact same Holder continuity as standard Brownian motion.
And Holder continuity is a way of measuring the fractal jaggedness of a curve.
Exactly.
For standard Brownian motion, the exponent is exactly 1/2 minus epsilon. No matter how far you zoom in, the path remains jagged and never smooths out into a clean line.
And our directed polymer shares this exact same microscopic jaggedness. Furthermore, theorem 3.4 in the paper proves the polymer has the exact same quadratic variation as Brownian motion, specifically, time multiplied by the identity matrix.
So if you measure how wildly the path zigzags over a short window of time, its fundamental rhythm perfectly mimics a completely normal, unbiased, random walk. The environment doesn't seem to have altered its basic geometry at all.
Which is what makes the biggest breakthrough in the paper theorem 3.8 so incredibly shocking.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
It reveals the ultimate disguise.
Right, this is where we hit the sharp measure theoretic dichotomy. It is like looking at two counterfeit paintings. Imagine you have a canvas representing standard Brownian motion and another canvas representing our directed polymer.
Okay.
Under a standard magnifying glass, the brush strokes, the jaggedness, the Holder continuity, they look indistinguishable. You would swear they were painted by the exact same mathematical artist.
But under the UV light of advanced measure theory, you realize one painting is made of completely different alien paint.
Wow.
They are fundamentally incompatible objects. What's fascinating here is that theorem 3.8 establishes a definitive black and white threshold based entirely on the variance of the environment.
And it states that the polymer's measure is mutually singular with respect to the standard Wiener measure, which is the pure measure for Brownian motion.
Right.
But only if and only if the noise has infinite spatial variance.
Yes, let's explore what mutually singular actually means in practice. In measure theory, if two probability measures are mutually singular, it means they live in parallel, completely disjoint mathematical universes.
It's like watching a coin being flipped. If it lands heads 5 times in a row, you might think it's just a fair coin having a weird streak.
Sure.
But if you watch it flip 10,000 times and it lands heads 10,000 times, you know, with absolute certainty you are dealing with a rigged coin.
Exactly. Mutual singularity means that if an observer had access to an infinite amount of microscopic data about the path, they could tell you with 100% certainty whether they were looking at standard Brownian motion or our directed polymer.
Because the probability of one path perfectly masquerading as the other across all data points is exactly zero.
Right. But this singularity only triggers if the noise has infinite spatial variance, what the paper calls non-trace class noise.
The mud is so infinitely deep and variable that it permanently alters the existential nature of the path. But wait, what if the noise is trace class, meaning it has finite variance?
If the variance is finite, the measures are entirely equivalent. The UV light reveals the paintings are made of the exact same paint. Yeah, the polymer is just a standard brownie emotion viewed through a slightly smudged but entirely normal lens.
So the roughness of the environment alone dictates whether the path becomes mathematically alien. Even though our basic geometric tools like measuring the zigzags and the jaggedness are entirely blind to the difference.
It's pretty wild.
It really is. So we have spent all this time looking through the microscope, seeing how the rough environment forces the path into this alien, mutually singular state.
Right.
But what happens if we pull back? What if we put down the microscope, pick up a telescope, and look at the path over a massive timescale?
Does the environment hold the path hostage forever, or does it eventually break free?
Exactly. The researchers dedicate a massive section of the paper to this large time behavior,
right.
But they introduce a fascinating geometric constraint. The path can only break free in dimensions 3 or higher.
Right. This is the high temperature regime. They prove that in dimensions where D's is greater than or equal to 3, if you turn the temperature up high enough, which corresponds to keeping the beta parameter small.
Specifically beta, less than beta 0.
Right. The polymer undergoes a phase transition.
So beta is the inverse temperature parameter, meaning a very small beta means a very high temperature.
Yes.
And in physics, jacking up the temperature increases the entropy. It encourages the system to wander even more wildly.
Exactly. In this high temperature state, known mathematically as the L2 region or weak disorder, the polymer completely scales to standard diffusive Brownian motion over large times.
Okay, so over a long enough timeline, the entropy entirely defeats the energy. The path just stops caring about the microscopic mud. It ignores the environment, and it diffuses normally.
It just chills out.
It chills out. But wait, why does this only happen in 3D or higher? Yeah. Why doesn't a 2D polymer eventually chill out and diffuse normally?
It comes down to a profound concept in the geometry of random walks, often summarized by Pulley's theorem.
Oh, I know this one. The famous quote is, "A drunk man will find his way home, but a drunk bird may get lost forever."
That's the one. In 1D or 2D space, a random walk is recurrent. If you trace a random path on a flat piece of paper long enough, it will eventually return to its starting point.
Right.
It will cross its own scribbled lines over and over again.
So it gets trapped in a loop. And because it keeps crossing its own path, it is forced to interact with the exact same patches of mud repeatedly.
Exactly. The energy of the environment dominates, leading to strong disorder no matter how incredibly high you turn up the temperature. The polymer simply cannot escape the local traps of a 2D plane.
But in 3D space, a random walk becomes transient. There is finally enough spatial volume, enough geometric room, for the polymer to move outward and bypass the obstacles entirely.
The drunk bird flies up, down, left, right, forward, and backward. It wanders off into the vastness of 3D space and almost never crosses its own specific trajectory again.
That makes total sense. This extra spatial dimension allows the polymer to slip past the deep mud traps.
Right.
The environment loses its grip, letting entropy win, provided the temperature is high enough to keep the path wandering.
Yeah, having enough dimensions allows the system to finally return to normal diffusion. It elegantly resolves the tension between the path and its environment, bringing our understanding of continuous polymers full circle.
So, zooming out to look at the entire landscape of this 2026 paper, Chen, Wuyang, Tyndall, and Xia have constructed a massive, robust, analytic backbone for probability theory.
They really have.
By rigorously proving the essential structural properties, positivity, stationarity, scaling, and the Chapman-Kolmogorov relation, they have bridged a decades-old gap.
Taking the simple, rigid chessboard models of the past and successfully translating them into highly singular, continuous stochastic equations.
They proved how systems navigate continuous, chaotic environments, whether we are talking about the literal diffusion of heat, the abstract formation of paths, or the deep measure theory that governs them both.
It's an incredible achievement.
It is. So what does this all mean for you?
Yeah.
I want to leave you with a lingering mystery, a mathematical cliffhanger mentioned directly in the text of the paper.
Oh, this is the best part.
Let's go back to theorem 3.8, the theorem that perfectly proves the alien singularity of the path in rough noise.
The UE light that proves the counterfeit painting is fake.
Exactly. The authors note that while they can prove the measures are mutually singular, identifying the explicit physical pathwise differences that cause this singularity remains a completely unsolved open problem.
Meaning, we know with absolute certainty that the path living in the rough noise belongs to a different universe than standard Brownian motion.
Right.
But if you are holding both paths in your hands, we still don't know exactly what to look for to tell them apart.
Think about that. Mass can prove with 100% certainty that two random trajectories are fundamentally existentially incompatible. It knows the imposter is there.
Yeah.
But humanity doesn't yet know exactly what physical shape, what hidden twist, or what microscopic anomaly gives the imposter away.
It is a profound reminder that in the world of probability, having the mathematical power to know that something is different doesn't always grant you the physical intuition to see how it is different.
We started this deep dive talking about the murky, unpredictable path of a lightning bolt. It turns out, even when our calculus gets powerful enough to map the storm and filter out the infinities,
nature still keeps a few secrets hidden.
Hidden right in the jagged edges of the strike. Keep exploring, keep questioning the math around you, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.